Hello, my friends. Colin Cook here, a voice for the voiceless, and this is How It Happens, a broadcast on the grace of God for to men and women in conflict with various addictions like heterosexual addiction, homosexual addiction, drugs or alcohol, food issues, worry, anxiety. My friends, we're looking at how we stand before God in Jesus Christ with all of this brokenness and in the process of working on it by faith. Some people tend to think that we're not secure in God until we've overcome everything. And I'll tell you that that faith formula counts for disaster and it will lead us to defeat. So we need to look at where we stand. And the good news is that God has counted us righteous in Christ even when we're broken as we put faith in Him. Now, what we are doing right now is to review the three factors that constitute or contribute to addiction. Actually, I should say constitute addiction rather than just contribute to it. We've ended the book of Romans, and we will be starting in a week or two. Right now, we are looking at these three factors. The first one I mentioned to you and overviewed for you was spiritual delusions. The second one that I've overviewed for you was the emotional wounds from childhood. Now we're looking at the escapes from pain, the third one. To put it another way, spiritual delusions, emotional wounds, psychological addictions, that is the escapes from pain. Now, it seems obvious, or does it, that addiction, that is an addictive behavior, a compulsive behavior, is in fact an escape from pain. So often that is forgotten, though. One might say, for instance, that the alcoholic struggler has an addiction to alcohol, that that is his problem. One might say that the sexual addict has a problem with sex. Well, it seems rather obvious to say that, doesn't it? And in a certain way, it is the fact, of course. He has a problem with alcohol, he has a problem with drugs or sex. But once we begin to realize that alcohol, drugs or sex, food issues, whatever they may be, are simply an escape from something else, then we start looking at the larger picture. It is true that a man has a problem with alcohol. But the reason that he has a problem with alcohol is a pain in him that he cannot face. And so, although we need to work on the specific problem itself, that is the specific, the presenting problem, as it's sometimes called psychologically, which is the alcohol or the drugs or the sex or the food issues, or the worry and anxiety for that matter, we need to look behind the presenting problem to the emotional wounds. The emotional wounds and the spiritual delusions. Remember, my friend, that if you've got a psychological addiction, you almost certainly have an emotional wound. And if you have an emotional wound, you almost certainly have a spiritual delusion. So how does it go? Somebody has a drink problem, but when he was a child, he had a father who had a drink problem. Or perhaps he had a father who simply wasn't there or who was absent. I mean, wasn't there emotionally or absent physically. So what happens? That child, as I mentioned yesterday and the day before, other days, didn't bond. He doesn't feel connected. He doesn't feel loved, and he doesn't feel secure in someone's love, in a parent's love. The result of that is an emotional pain, which is also exacerbated, that is, worsened, by the spiritual delusion, which says, well, where was God when I was a child? Why didn't He love me and help me? Why did He let me go through the abuse that I went through in relation to a parent, in relation to my parent? And so a man with an emotional wound is unquestionably, almost certainly, going to question God. Does God care? Is God there? If He's there and He doesn't care, well, He must be a demon. And so we have this fear that God is not loving to us, that he doesn't care much. Now, what does that do to the psychological addiction? Well, of course, as I mentioned the other day, the man who has an addiction to alcohol as a presenting problem, or sex or drugs, food issues, as presenting problems, has these emotional wounds in childhood that are triggering this escape from pain. And in addition to that, it's compounded by the fact, or the belief, rather, that he has, that God wasn't there. Therefore, when he drinks further, he's simply going to close out God. When he does his sex issues things, or when he has his binges on drugs or food, he's simply going to shut out God. Well, he says, I already shut him out because I don't believe he cares for me or that he's even there. Exactly. Shutting out God is, as I said the other day, a process of closing down one's sense of being, one's inner spirit, the soul, that gives a person a sense of being a person. And slowly one moves into a sort of robot-like state, a zombie-like state, where one simply responds to stimuli without much thought. Now, what I just said, without much thought, is precisely what goes on in the addiction phase, the addiction factor. Most addictions are never a fulfillment of the goal that the person who's involved in them is striving for. I mean, for example, a person with sex addiction wants intimacy and closeness. But an addiction is self-defeating. That is to say, it defeats the very purpose it's going after. If you want intimacy and closeness, you certainly don't get it, do you, through sexual addiction, because it's merely a symbol of addiction rather than, a symbol of intimacy rather than intimacy itself. The man, for instance, who has an alcohol problem and who loves to go to the bar will tell you that he feels comfortable there. He feels accepted. There is no condemnation and no judgment. He can be himself. But in fact, as he continues through the night and bees himself, the result is that he goes home totally lonely. He goes home without any relationships. In fact, anybody struggling with alcohol will tell you that his relational life is crumbling. It has no foundations. He simply goes to a place that makes him feel as though he has intimacy and closeness, but he doesn't actually have it. Now then, you see, an addiction is irrational. It never really does deal with the real problems at hand. It's not that people who are addicted are stupid, except that all of us, the whole human race, is stupid. We're all into escapes from reality. But it's not that a person in addiction is any more stupid than anyone else, for the fact is, all of us, in one way or another, are escaping from true, open relationships with God and with one another. We still have our fig leaves on, even when we come to Christ and receive his righteousness and are cloaked in his righteousness. We still somehow, in relation to others, would rather wear the fig leaves than the robe of Christ's righteousness. It is very difficult to be relationally real and have integrity and honesty at all times. So what does that irrationality do? It does things that are completely counterproductive to the goal that the person really has. He wants to feel bonded, he wants to feel loved, and yet he does things that simply destroy the possibility or abort the possibility of love and friendships and belonging and bonding. What is more irrational is this, that we go into an addiction wanting to feel better, and we come out feeling worse. This is just beyond comprehension, really, isn't it? Of course it is, because it's irrational. Why do we feel worse? Because we feel guilty, because we feel ashamed. And that guilt and that shame creates more separation from the self than ever, and separation from other people. You would think that if somebody had such a terrible drive and need for intimacy, and therefore goes for it for comfort, that he would surely get something that would make him feel better. But no, he feels worse. And so every person in addiction has a massive conflict. He loves what he hates, and he hates what he loves. Can we face all this and still know that God loves us, still know that we are redeemed? Yes, we can. As AA says, we need to do a moral inventory of ourselves, although I don't like that phraseology, moral inventory, in a business-like manner. And so I say to you, how about writing in your journal what your addiction is all about? What are the pains behind it? What makes you think that you're getting bonded when you are actually not? Explore how you feel after an addictive binge. Whether you feel better or worse, of course you know the answer. But describe it specifically. Where do you feel worse? You see, what you're doing here is learning how not to be your own worst enemy. As you write things down, you realize that you have been previously fighting against yourself, warring against your soul. God alone is the one who is in your favor. You're against yourself. Boy, that's a bit of a revelation. And as you get that revelation, you begin to realize, I'd rather be on God's side than mine. Now, friend, to help you out with some of these realities, I have a special program for you. At my home, beginning on the 16th of April, the day after Tax Day, all through the month of April and May, every Thursday night for 7 weeks, it's group, let's not call it psychotherapy, group, let's not call it psychotherapy. You come to my home at 7 o'clock in the evening till 8:30. We work on 10 of you all together. We work on two people at a time. You explore or unfold your history, your struggle, your problems. Others listen in, and I do the counseling work with one or two of you, with several others present, so that they learn from your experience and you then learn from their experiences the next week. It's $20 per session for 7 sessions each Thursday night from April the 16th to the end of May. It's in the Englewood area, and I urge you to come along and get the help. Let's get something going in your life that will make you move forward more productively. Now, my friend, we will sign a confidentiality sheet so that there's no sharing of data outside of the group. And we will do this work, as I say, for 7 weeks. You have to register, though, by the 24th of this month. That's only a week from now, just over a week from now. So call me at 303-738-8694 to tell me that you want to join up. 303-738-8694. We're going to have no more than 10 and no less than 10. If we don't have 10, it doesn't come off. I'll look forward to hearing from you. 303-738-8694. Thanks, my friends. I'll see you next time. God bless.